I got a hell of it. I'ma make sure the family forever straight. They wouldn't listen, now I gotta devastate. I'm on your ass and I won't let you get away. I got a hell of it. Hey, thanks for tuning in. And since I do have you on listen right now, I need a really big favor. Navigate yourself over to the website, iamnecessary.org, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see this button that says donate. Click that button, support the platform, show some love. I appreciate you. Now let's start the show. Hello and welcome to the I Am Necessary podcast. As always, this is your guy and host, Marcel. So let me start off with this. As we know, men and women are encouraged to objectify each other, to objectify their romantic relationships. Thus, our partners are often seen as achievements. You know, you hear people call it the trophy wife or whatever, rather than someone to share mutual emotional support. And there's no class in high school, unfortunately, that can teach you how to not be a shitty boyfriend or a shitty girlfriend, or a friend for that matter. So without clear guidance from those with experience, what we're left with is basically trial and error. And if you like most people, it's mostly error, which then could lead to what we're going to talk about this evening, toxicity. So many of us enter the dating world not even knowing that a lot of our beliefs about relationships are toxic to begin with. And a lot of us still believe that love conquers all in relationships. And this might sound crazy to some people, but love shouldn't be the reason to stay in a relationship. And that's because it can cloud our judgment surrounding what I believe to be three core components of a healthy relationship. That's respect, trust, and affection. So with that, let's meet one of my experienced guests who you guys should know, Juanita. She's been on the show many times, which should tell you this girl's a jack of all trades and she's been around the world and yeah. So she does have, I don't know if you caught before, she's a master's in social work. She has a clinical background. She's the bomb at what she does professionally. And I'm bringing her on not to really dig from a professional perspective, but from an experience perspective herself. So what's up, Juanita?
What's up? How you doing?
Cool in the gang. So thank you for, again, blessing my airways with your life experience. A lot of it has been good, but a lot of it has been, you know, we do these shows like this to help people skip the line, right? So if we could experience it for you and tell you about it, hopefully it would save someone from making a mistake in life about something, or can wake someone up in the middle of something that they don't even realize they're in the middle of. So we're going to talk a little bit about toxic relationships. So I'm going to start by asking you, ma'am, when you hear that phrase, toxic relationship, what does that mean to you?
Toxic in general, deadly, you know, poisonous, just oil and water. Like, it's just, you know, you should not be mixing. Toxic relationship is probably when that person is bringing the worst out in you, or the worst of you is coming out being with that person and vice versa. But it just gives a dangerous situation when I hear that.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of times what we're going to talk about a little bit is sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees, right? Sometimes you're so caught up in lust, or I'm tired of being single, that now you're in this relationship and the blinders come up. You know, it's almost like after about 4 or 5 months, when the lust wears off, you're just laying in bed and you're like, wait, is that toenail dead? I never noticed that toenail. Or are her teeth uneven? Like, what? And so now you start to feed into that. And now you're like, wait a minute. And then that breeds other things. So I want you to take us back. You know, I know all my listeners, I want you guys to go back as you're listening to that relationship that you had. And I want to say had, hopefully you're not, it got headphones on right now and he or she's laying right next to you, you know, that you're going to discover. Hopefully that's not the situation. So when you think back to your toxic relationship, what was so good about the relationship that it made you not see what you eventually saw as a sign?
It's really crazy that you asked me that. I feel like my therapist just recently asked me the same thing.
Shout out to her therapist.
Right? So luckily, I kind of have something in mind. But no, honestly, for me, kind of what you said, like the blinders are on in the beginning, but it was the feeling, the good felt like it did outweigh the bad for me. But it was like this guy knew how to court, knew how to date. Those things kind of stuck out to me and it never stopped. So the time we spent, I feel like we were on our own real life adventure, right? Trying new things. He wanted the family, you know, the morals and values. A lot of those things matched. But I was so stuck on, oh my gosh, he treats me like a queen. No matter, I didn't see all the other stuff, but the direct treatment, not indirect, but the direct treatment was amazing. And a lot of it, I watched my dad, you know, treat my mother like that. So I'm like, okay, you know, he reminds me a lot of my father. So that was like, I think part of the reason why I stayed so long.
And what was the first thing that you saw that, you know, you probably saw a lot of things, but if you can remember, what was the first thing that you saw that you chose not to see?
You know what? I can't even say it was one thing. It was literally when we moved in together.
Okay.
So living separately, you know, I guess you could fake it for a couple of days if we, you know, spent time together or, you know, going out. But I truly, truly feel like when we moved in together, that's when everything was like, oh my, like you said, like the teeth and the toenails and like, oh my God, I didn't realize this. Almost immediately, like the first month or two, I was like, oh man, like, let me try to whip him in shape though. I'm gonna stay around. Mm-hmm. Let me try to, you know, bring it on together. But it was literally when we moved in together.
Wow. And that could be, you know, that's a step up from the old days. When you move in, it's showtime, right? It's not that you're on the phone and you hang up. No, you hang up. You hang up. And did I just fall asleep on you on the phone? All that stuff is cool. And then it's almost like, this is a horrible example, but being a father who's not there with your kids, you get them on the weekends, right?
Right.
So you can show up for a day or two, but the longevity, that's when the truth comes out.
Exactly.
So moving in together, that's what people don't realize. There's a lot. Does this dude snore? You know, how do I feel about that? And when can I cut gas for the first time? And, you know, does that,
right.
What is, you know, all those things that go into it that you never thought about because you was living in lust land. So that is a cold piece. So walking around, now y'all living together and you notice.
Ooh, you know what? It was the little things where, why am I reminding him to take out the trash every week? Like, why when he's shaving, like there's still little hairs on the sink? Or did you pay the electricity? But like now I felt like I was doing it all, or like, I don't want to use the word leading, but kind of like leading us, like taking care of everything. And I really expected a leader. I expected more of that husband material to show up since we made this big step. Another thing, I knew he was a mama's boy. Like I knew that. I just didn't realize his mother was still doing so much for him. So when he got to me, I'm looking at him like, I'm not doing it. And he's looking at me like, what, really? So there was a lot of things that we had to learn real quick. And it just hit the bottom real hard. But I think some of those day-to-day things that really, really bothered me. And then, you know, I'm getting up, going to work, you're getting up, going to work. But like, when we come back, what the evening looks like, what are you doing with your time? me progressing in school and, you know, career at that time. And then you come home and you see this person like playing video games. So like some of those things, it all hit at once.
Yeah, it's really tough, and people think it's corny to be like, I think that's why maybe a lot of times when people are truthful on dating apps, you know, I hear a lot of stories of people, yeah, we met on Match.com or we met on this dating app, because if you're true, those are the things you need to figure out anyway, right?
Yeah.
In a relationship, like, what are your beliefs? What are you, what is this? And how you feel about kids? I remember when I was in a relationship years ago, my number one rule in my immature phases of life was, man, I'm never messing with a girl that already has a kid, right? I'm not going to be that, just add water to the relationship, or, you know, because now this dude going to come around and we might be on different pages and this kid is in the middle of all these things that I fantasize, no experience. I fantasize what it would be like to be in a relationship like that, kept me from it until I was actually in one. And my thing is, when the lust settled, I fell in love with the boy. That's what kept me, you know, like, because the girl, and I can remember the first thing about me, like, I consider myself a funny dude. And I'm like, I look back, I'm like, this girl never laughed at anything I ever said. Right? So then the question asks, well, have I ever heard her laugh? And the answer was yes. So she's got that gene or that bone, but she don't laugh at my jokes, right? And so I let it go. You know, that's me. Or I'm being petty, right? But when you think that way, it festers. And then it starts to show up in other places. And then we act out, right? So I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable, because right now you painted a picture of this was a big mistake. Can you recall how some of your mannerisms showed up? I won't say to kind of destroy the relationship a little bit, or to, you know what I mean? So like when people are in toxic relationships and they want to be out, they don't just leave.
Yeah.
They do things
to
make someone leave. So can you think about something that you did to be like, I'm gonna push this envelope?
Absolutely. I feel like there was a point where I was kicking him out every other week or two. You know, it's not toxic unless y'all grabbing y'all garb. Somebody's grabbing a bag and taking their stuff and leaving.
Right.
So I was definitely doing that, and he always respected it, or just kind of like followed with it and just took his walk. And as he would call it, okay, I'm gonna leave, I'm gonna take my walk, and you know, we'll come back and regroup. But I would definitely do that, and I feel like that was horrible. At that time, I'm in his face. I'm getting right there with you. I was not controlling my emotions. We weren't communicating effectively. We went into the relationship where I had more things at the time than him. So I would kind of just take control, like it's mine or what have you. So I definitely feel like there were things where it probably didn't make him feel like a man.
Right.
He was more emotional than me. So it was almost like the roles were reversed, where I'm just like, I'm good. I'm ready to, you know, I want to go with my girls or like do certain things, and like, I'll see you later. I don't want to deal with this. And he's like, let's talk, you know? So I definitely feel like the stroking of the ego, I feel like it's real, you know, for men. And I do think that there should be some stroking of the ego from a woman. Like, you know, babe, can you open the pickle jar? Like, just let me, you know, I wasn't doing any of that. I wasn't doing any of that. And honestly, it was a reaction where I was so disappointed in how he wasn't leading or doing what I thought he was going to do when we moved in. Now I'm like, I could do it myself. I'm not going to keep asking you to take out the trash. Like, now I'm doing things on my own and I'm showing you that I don't need you. So that was definitely how things turned when we moved in together.
So
And I was
question.
intentionally like doing it
Right.
at
So
that point.
what was different, right, when you weren't living together was, what did you see that was like, we need to be living together? What, so he could have been doing the same actions, but you chose to portray it in your mind as manly,
Right.
versus whatever. So what story did you tell yourself to justify it's time to move in?
Ooh wee. You know what? It's strange because I don't have a answer to that. I feel like even when he came over, and it would just be like, oh, babe, I'll take out the trash. Okay, so when it was my plate, so I know that's a very little thing.
Well,
Or
it could be big because it could be a symbol, for something more.
I just feel like he took more initiative. And although he was the guest, so he was the guest. So now I'm doing all these things. I'm making sure
Right.
he's comfortable and you're at my place. So I think we just both stopped doing those very little things that were important. And then when, I feel like we went out, he never stopped courting, let me be clear, but we probably went on more dates. We had more of that in your face quality time conversations. Versus now we're at home, we're kind of relaxed, we're in our own zone, we're kind of chilling. So turns out we weren't ready to move in together,
Right.
but a lot of those little things that mattered or made a difference for us or made each of us happy, it just stopped. We got comfortable. We got really comfortable really quick. And then we both got busy. So now instead of me making it a priority to go to your house, now I don't want to be home, or not that I'm avoiding home, but hey, I'm gonna go out with my girls. Like I'm gonna see you later anyway, right? So now we're not prioritizing some of the things that we did before.
Yeah, and probably I won't say to his defense, but if he's coming over your house and you're courting, like, oh, I got, you're taking out the trash because that's what you do. It's your house, right? He's a guest. So you're doing all these things, you invite him over for dinner. So guess what you're doing? You're cooking, right? You're cleaning the dishes because it's your house, right? But sometimes when you let a man in, they didn't get the memo. They're still thinking, well, that's what she does, right? But now you live here, so. And sometimes you have to kind of sit down and be like, hey, so how you want to do this? Right? Sometimes you have to express those expectations. And sometimes it can get toxic when people think I shouldn't have to. You should already read my mind, right? Which isn't fair. And I could tell you, back to one of my old relationships, when you talk about getting the bags and leave, the toxicity came because I'm a, men are pretty. We pretty black and white, we kind of low key. And so we would get into it or whatever, or she would get into it with me. And then she would be like, you know what? I'm gonna leave. And I'm like, all right, well, be safe, And then she would leave, come back 5 minutes later. You just gonna let me leave? I mean, you're an adult, you chose to leave. Like, I don't know. And then that was an issue, right? So this is where we started. The pot starts simmering, and it started bubbling toxicity, right? And then it's the, where you at? Where you going? Where you been? You couldn't text me when you got there, and all these types of things where it just became, the passive aggressiveness, the controllingness, and you wearing those shoes? Yeah, 100%. I'm an adult, right? Well, I want you to wear these white shoes with these white socks that I bought you. Like, no, that's not how I roll, But it's just, and then you sit down and you ponder, like, how did we get here? And for me, I'm like, how did I allow it to get here? Right? Because the ownership is a two-way street, but that's what, I used to do. So how long did you simmer in everything that you're telling us right now? So how long did you stay? And what came first? Did you like, hey, this ain't gonna work? You can stay here, but we ain't together. Or did you gotta go and that's it?
So from the time we moved in together until it was probably, no, I stayed. It was like 2 years, 2.5 years trying to make it work.
And what, stop right there. Don't lose your thought. What does that mean? Trying to make it work. Give us an example.
We knew we were having to put in this work. We did therapy, couples, you know, therapy. We were really trying to make it work. We both understood our expectations for each other were just, we weren't clear. So we were working at it. And then we just tried to, you know, understand that there's ups and downs. Now I am toxic to the point where I'm ready to tap out. Like we don't got to do, if it's not working, it's not. And I'm very, very guilty of that. This was the first person. He fought for me. Like he fought. He did. I'll give he fought. And so I'm like, man. So like we went with it. We tried. And then a lot of times it was like, when I'm trying hard, he's not. When he's trying hard, I'm not. So we just, for whatever reason, couldn't stay on the same page long enough to make it work.
Now, during this time, was there still intimacy?
Yes, for sure. But it wasn't when the day of the fight, things are bad. Like we never, so initially we kind of did, because he didn't understand that, you know, sex doesn't fix things. Like I'm mad, so kind of don't touch me. But it was never like, we're not doing it, you know, on a regular basis. It was like, when it's bad in that moment, we learn to kind of let me cool off, let him cool off. You know, he might sleep on the couch. Just kind of depends on how he feels. I would never make him, but we learn to give each other space. And then, you know, 2-3 days kind of come together, talk about it. But so we still were pretty regular, but in the days it was bad, it was like, literally, don't touch me.
And that's crazy. And to the listeners right now, this is rhetorical, but you know, you mentioned you and this guy you're dating, who you already had some turbulence with, you went to therapy.
Yeah.
Right. So to the listeners, this is rhetorical. You know, do you think it's worth going to therapy for a boyfriend? Right. So not, because I know some people who are common law, you know, you would think they're married. They're just a great couple. They just don't want to sign the paperwork. Right. So them going to therapy makes sense. But, you know, you're dating and you're going to therapy, but you already know in the back of your mind that this is not it. So that's just a rhetorical for the listeners. How do you feel about boyfriend and girlfriends going to therapy? Okay, so you guys go to therapy, whatever, you're trying to work it out, you know, two years of this.
Can I jump in on the therapy,
Jump in.
Boyfriend and girlfriend, that is where most people wait till they're getting married, marriage counseling, all that, right? Like the pastor or the preacher is, you know, getting you ready to... whatever.
Yeah. Why are you trying to get out?
Although the relationship didn't work out, I will say we learned so much. And even learning the way our parents, because both of our parents were married, you know, so it's like our parents is 30 plus years married. Like, why wouldn't we could make this work? Just learning the roles of my dad and then his parents. They were reversed. So we grew up totally different, learning what the triggers are. So you brought up, you know, were we intimate? It wasn't until therapy where he understood, you know what? She doesn't want me to touch her in this moment. And because before he didn't get it. I'm not trying to be mean and withhold. I just can't receive that right now. The intimacy, I'm not like there. But it was some of the tools that we learned. And I think that's why it lasted so long, where we did learn more and we learned how to communicate better. So I do recommend it, even boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay. But that is, because, you know, a lot of guys don't really understand that, you know, a woman could be very attracted to you. And you think it's because you got these six pack abs and, you know, you got blue eyes and all of these things. Women lust after that. They fall in love with characteristics. So that's why sometimes when it stops, nothing happened to your abs or your eyes, but you're a liar. And that's not attractive, right? I can't trust you. And that's not attractive. So I'm no longer attracted to the human you are. Physically, nothing's changed. But, you know, I want my guys to understand that's how women operate. right? You're like, why are you with that dude? A lot of times you see that, right? And people are like, why are you with that dude? And they're only looking at the physical. That dude's got it down, you know, because he had to. Maybe he's not the most appealing guy to the eye. So guess what? He had a leg up on doing. Like, well, let me get my, I can control my characteristics. I can control my personality. And girls can't help it. You know, he's relentless with it. You're like, oh, look, when you first see him, he don't look that cute. But then when he started doing things, saying things, showing up for you, being support, you're like, oh, I guess he is kind of cute, you know, and that's how that turns, because that's what we want. We want a that's where the term soulmate comes from. And when we can mature to look past the physical, that's sustainability right there, because you're falling in love with that human being. But the thing is, how do you get there? And this is my own opinion. It don't happen in a month. It don't happen in 2 months. You know, consider yourself fortunate. My mother, one of her best friends, got married after 2 weeks, and they were married for 50 years.
Wow.
Right. So that's not the norm, right? Because a relationship, look at this, this sounds cliche, but it's the most true thing ever. Takes work and it takes communication, if nothing else, right? Communicate. You gotta, if you really care about someone, you guys gotta understand each other. And you don't have to be down with whatever, but at least you know what you're dealing with, and you can make an informed decision on, okay, this is an internal thing. I thought it was kind of short term, or I thought this was long term, but you know, if you know you don't believe in God, you know, whatever that thing is, that's my non-negotiable, we need to kind of take another look at this. And I have to ask myself, am I cool with what we got here, or do I want to elevate this? And a lot of times that's not communicated, right? Because you get together as whatever. Nothing really has been stated. But secretly, one of them in their mind is projecting. They already got the suits picked out for the wedding.
Right.
And here this other partner, this other person is like, life is good. We travel. You know, you like to go to the Laker games. You know what I mean? You wear the football jersey. Is this an act? Or is this who you are for real? Right? Because like you said, he was a great person when you dated him. You know, he was a gentleman doing all those things. But sometimes when we have that hidden agenda, you know, it's all about it. And I always used to tell people, beware of people who, okay, so what happened with your last boyfriend or your last girlfriend? They taking notes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he would never open the door for me. He would never, you know, when I got my hair done, he would note to self, open the door, note to self, you know, say something about the hair. Note to self, because my objective is to get in there, right? Once I'm in there, we'll figure it out. Because once I'm in there, I'll say, okay, that was good enough to be a keeper. And then that toenail shows up, right? And then, you know, the garbage been sitting there for 3 weeks shows up. All those things show up and you have to deal with it. Who, not by name if you don't want to name it, but do you remember the first time you told one of your friends about, yeah, this not, or one of your friends called you out? It was like, girl, I don't even know why you with this dude, because they saw it first, right? So which one comes to mind first? One of your friends saw it, or you confided in them like, girl, I don't know.
You know, I confided in them, but what's really, really crazy, my friends and family all loved him. I was never told to leave or, girl, you should leave him. And, you know, we were in our 20s, mid, you know, our 20s. So I think we all were in some toxic things at that point. But when it ended and the way it ended, that is, and it ended bad. So that is when it was like, you need to walk away. No disrespect to him. You need to walk away. But throughout the relationship, we had a lot of support, and everybody, you know, he was a good person. So like everybody loved him. His family loved me, vice versa. Everyone was rooting for us, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's the sad part. And to your point, there's a lot of times where people, you know, oh, your mom is the bomb, right? And you look at them sideways like, you know, this bitch used to lock me in the basement. You know, how dare you say my mom is cool, right? But I'm not her daughter. So I'm looking at your mom from a 10-minute perspective, right?
Right.
Well, your mom is on point for 10 minutes because they don't have to, air quote, live with me, right? So you can say, so this dude probably showed up for your friends that probably was a part of the act too. You know, I'm sorry, I'm calling it an act, but that probably was a part of the deal
Absolutely.
too. Like, hey, I'm gonna make sure. So if you do try to leave me, you're gonna catch it from them, you
Absolutely. And
know? And
I love
that's toxic.
moving. Right. It is. And I think it's toxic telling all your business. You can tell your friends and family some things, but they're going to hold it against that person longer than you are. You
Right.
can go through it and you forgive him. They're not going to. So I feel like I learned that before this relationship, and I kind of knew, better. So it was us. It was my decision. I had support either way I wanted to go. But of course, until the end, it was like, girl, if you know what's best for you, or obviously it's gotten too toxic, because it got toxic, where I'm saying, now you're getting 50 calls at work, you're not answering. Now, somebody's popping up at your job. Now you calling my mama, or I'm calling your mama. We cussing each other out, and the neighbors don't know. Like, or should we call it? Like, it got bad. And when it was good. When it was bad, it was bad.
Right. And to your point, the cold part is, you know, when you tell everybody all the bad, because that's all you talk about, and then they see you guys laughing, they look at you side-eyed. Like,
Right.
what? She just told me that this dude was, and then, okay, she crazy too. They right for each other. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You just never know. But there's also a fine line between, you know, toxicity and abuse. You know, that line is kind of thin a little
Yeah.
bit, but that's showing up at the job and all of that always intrigued me because I worked at a lot of places where I got to witness that. You know, where ain't that your man in the parking lot right there? Like what? And everybody looking out the window. Like, yeah, that's him right there. You better go get, you know what I mean? And that's just not a good feeling. And people see that, but then at the Christmas party, there he is.
Right.
You
Dancing,
know.
having a good time. Right,
Yeah.
right.
Now they're questioning you and your judgment. Right. So
Absolutely.
what when you say it ended kind of bad, what does that, if you don't mind sharing, like what does that mean?
I ended up having to call the cops on him. So I got it from his family's end, where you don't call the cops on us, our men. You know what that leads to, blah, blah, blah. So they weren't happy on their end. On my end, honestly, by the time I had to do that, it really wasn't, the disrespect wasn't pointed to him, but it was like, this is enough. But my mother actually was the one person, and she was like, whatever you choose to do, if you decide to stay with him or not, I support you. But this is the thing. The fact that I even had to do that, I thought I was too good for the whole situation, right? But I'm writing it out. I feel like I'm in a movie. And it was like, you know what? I have to change the narrative. There's no way I want to live like this. There's no way I want this to be my story. So once that happened, I packed my stuff up. And I was owning a house at the time. I packed my stuff up out of my own house. Just because, when you live there long enough, he know how to get in through the back door. And if he loses it,
Yeah. Right. That toxic stuff.
right. Let me get up out of here. I ended up moving in with my parents temporarily, and I rented out the house. And I feel like it had to be that drastic. Otherwise, I would have kept going back. Or he would have kept coming, and eventually, I feel like we would have tried again. But once I had to do that, I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. It's just, that's a whole nother level of toxic.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, and I'm going to pose this question to you. I want you to sit on it for a second because I'm going to ask you know, for someone listening, like in your eyes, what are the signs that you experienced that maybe you didn't see or you thought you could fix or, and they didn't go away, right? Because you guys aren't together anymore. And I would assume that those were some of the reasons. Maybe some new stuff popped up too, but those are the reasons. Because what I don't want is if you're in one of these situations, what you typically do is justify, rationalize, minimize, right? Or your pride is too big because you did something or said something. You glorified this man or woman so much that now your pride is involved. So you can't go back on that. You can't walk away. Or so you think. But we're here to tell you, you can. And you absolutely have to. How you do that, you know, is that's the delicate part. Hopefully you have a support system that can help you strategize on how to do that. But if you're in a relationship that's toxic, I can tell you right now, the statistics show it's not going to get any better. So you need to look in the mirror, find your strength, stand in your strength, find your support system, and start to take action, right? If not for yourself, for those who really care about you. You got this. You're stronger than you think you are. So what would you say, Juanita, to someone out there who is just sitting in it, kind of pretending it's not there?
I think we have to learn to listen to ourselves, listen to our bodies. So if you're, you know, anxiety or stress level or all these things, if it's affecting you, follow your intuition. So if you know you need to leave, leave. If there's 90%, 80%, you just need to go ahead and follow that. I think that what we hold on to, this idea of love, whatever that looks like for us, but it's funny you said it earlier. I now know that it has to be more than love. You know, what's love got to do with it? Seriously. Like if there's no respect, if there's no communication, there's not a partnership, your goals aren't aligned. And if you're miserable, like make your plan. I will say, like I told you, I knew I was mentally, and I feel like a lot of women do start strategizing, start, okay, let me put some money to the side. Okay, if I have to do this, let me start, you know, taking clothes off. Whatever you have to do slowly, if it has to be that slow, I just think you need to do it. Follow your gut, get out. The grass is greener where you water it. You know, so wherever you're putting your time, wherever you're putting your energy, like that technically is where the life is. But if you take that life away, and if you put your time and energy somewhere else, like it always gets better. There's so many amazing people. There's so many amazing things that you could be doing. Life is short. But I think that don't let anyone talk you into it. Listen to your gut. If your gut says go, this is no good. I just think you need to follow that. And for me, I'm a believer. It got so toxic where I prayed to God. I was like, God, give me a sign. I fasted for 21 days. Not the fast where it's just water, but I had a specific fast for 21 days. Don't you know this had to be the 19th day of the fast when this happened?
Wow.
So, you know, be careful what you ask for, but if you keep ignoring all these red flags, you're not going to sit in peace ever. It's going to get to the point where you're going to be dragged out of it, or, you know, it's just going to get so bad. So, I mean, I knew from the beginning. I wish I would have left sooner. I don't necessarily have any regrets. You know, I loved him to death, but follow your gut. Listen to that voice. There, it's always right.
Yeah.
Make a plan.
For sure. And I'll say that's the, you know, we didn't even touch on some people sit in it because you're in a relationship. You know, this is not just boyfriend, girlfriend. You could be married in a toxic marriage, right? And now you're just sitting there justifying all day long. Well, because there's kids involved, right?
Yeah.
Or there's this involved, or there's that involved. So you just, in essence, what you're doing, and your friends know, like they just, you ever had those opportunities where your friends are like, hey, man, what's wrong with you? Hey, girl, you all right? Because you're sitting in it and you know that what you're sitting in is toxic. But again, you feel like it's too much. It's easier to stay. Right. Right? He or she, they're not punching me. They're not doing these. So that's when you go down the road of justification. But there's a greater life that you keep watching on TV, or you keep watching your friends have, or you keep watching your neighbors have, that could, should be you. If this is you living in this toxic relationship, do it for your kids. Yeah. Do it, like I said earlier, do it for those who really love you. So help us out there. There's all kinds of support groups, whatever. Don't think you're alone. So if you're in it and you feel you need to get out, like Juanita said, like I'm telling you, get out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this has been the I Am Necessary podcast, and you are necessary, ma'am. You are necessary, sir. So if you made it wrong, take the time to make it right. Be needed, be necessary, and I'm out.
I gotta elevate. I'ma make sure the family forever straight. They wouldn't listen, now I gotta devastate. I'm on your ass and I won't let you get away. I gotta elevate.